Okay, so we were picking up with the Grizz, who again is trying to deal with all the different implications of Rashi's and the like. So the Grizz, he deals with it more extensively on the Rambam, but we'll deal with the shorter piece over here. So again, like everybody else, he notes that in our Gemara, Perish Rashi, Vachtiv, Im Zevach Shlamim, Karbanosha, Dezvich, Lashem, Shlamim, that in the Gemara Menachot, it implies that the reason that you can't have Lolishma is a function of the essay, is that you're supposed to bring the Karban in the proper way, and if you bring it Lolishma, you didn't. Velohevi kan Rashiya Isser, Shal Machshava Shalolishma, Shal Ze Ika Lav Bloy Chashev, Kamashakat Bezvachim. Unlike in Zvachim, where he quotes there as being a lav. Now again, we talked about the different stages, we could be miyashiv, but this is his attempt. V'ineishita ratosvot alzeh leka rak aseh demotzas v'decha tishmor. But as we've seen, Tosvot and Dav Dalet think that all the think that lo lishma, the only reason that you can't have lo lishma is because of the positive commandment to bring the karban properly. And he says, what's the logic? Why would you think that only that there's no lav by lo lishma? Because if you think that the lav depends on this, on actually messing up the karban, so then lo lishma doesn't obviously do that. Again, unless you're machadesh, the very fact that make a kakarala Allah, right, lowers its status, and that's enough to be considered messing it up, but that's not an obvious point. V'lo machshavet dino potha karban rak lo al l'shem chovah machshavet shel l'shma. V'hine bizvachem, so he says, okay, let's go through the sugya again. On chavtet, mevor da'alav lo chashev in aloka mishum den b'masa. The Gemara had said that you don't get malkut, or according to Yehuda, who says in general that you get malkut by a lav shein b'masa, by a non-active prohibition, so you would. But fundamentally, since we don't paskin Yehuda, we don't paskin that. The yesh makshim, ma'isha zemi t'mure deloka alav delo yamir, mishum dividibura kavid masa. So here the Grizz now introduces a new point, which is that there are certain cases where we paskin that you do get malkut for that which you do verbally, because there is a change in the physical world based on what you said. So specifically, he uses the example of tmura. What's tmura? Exactly, right? Well, you try to, you have a carbon, you say, I want to trade it off to that. The halacha says you can't do that. And who utmurato yakodesh? It's a pasuk. I expect you guys to know Chumash. Who utmurato yakodesh? That you're not allowed to do it, and if you do it, the original karban remains kodesh, remains holy, and the thing you try to replace it with also becomes holy. Right? It's a type of like biblical kenas. Right? That's tamura. But the what?
Grilled cheese, burning
grilled cheese. What?
Sorry.
Oh, you're asking not about tmura. I thought you were saying, what if someone like threatens to kill you if you don't do tmura? I was like, that's a very specific thing to do. I mean, sort of odd. No, so No. Tmura is what it means in Chumash. Lo yamir. So tmura is the prohibition to try to trade out one carbon for another animal. Where A, you're not allowed to do that, and B, if you try, both are kadosh, but you do get malkut because there was an effect in the real world. Now there's an animal which is kadosh as tmura. Now, as to Evan's point, what are you asking me? Telling someone to murder or forcing someone? So, the way we paskin like Beit Hillel, you're not chayev in human courts. You're a horrible human being if you do that, right? If you're a mob boss and you never pull the trigger, but you arrange for many people to be killed, you are a horrible person, but God has to take care of it. According to Beit Shammai, this is one of the exceptions to the rule where yesh liach l'dvar avera. And you can actually be held, and you can be held somewhat culpable. You can be held culpable.
This is the picture we drew on our right?
We invoke the force feeding of barley, kippa, specifically in cases where we know that someone committed murder, but we can't prove it, and possibly some other related cases. We might invoke it here because there's, like, you know, murder involved. But, like, a mob boss who doesn't necessarily ever pull the trigger is clearly a... he's not technically a rotzeach. He's a horrible human being, even worse, but, you know. What? Yeah, I'm just saying, in theory, okay? Like, whichever head of Hamas is sitting there comfortably in Qatar, right? If he planned this operation, you know, he's a horrible, horrible, horrible human being. What? Anyways, so, yeah. Okay.
What? As far as I remember, the Tamura animal was an Ola, but I'm not sure.
The Tamura animal takes on the status of whatever the animal was.
Okay.
With certain differences. Because now he says, okay, but there we specifically say that because your what you said affects the object... therefore, you do get malkut. So he says, shouldn't this be the same? That everyone should agree that pigol, you get malkut, because it's not a lavshin malmas. Remember, we noticed this problem in the Ramban, right? Which is, it's like having a mum, right? It's like giving it a mum. But if it's like giving it a mum, then it's not really, right? And he said specifically, it's not even that the iser is really on your machshava. It's on the shchita of the animal or the zrika of the animal with the improper thought that then makes it invalid, right? That means that this isn't a normal machshava. It's a machshava that creates a reality in the real world. It connects to, you know, to actions, to, it does something. He says here also, especially if you focus on the result, there is an action, as it were, happening. V'chanami b'divur nifsal karban. V'amar agrach limaran. So Reb Chaim said to the Griz, right, their father and son, right, but Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, his son, is Yitzchak Halevi Soloveitchik, who's the Griz, right? One of his sons. His Red's other son is Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, who is Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, like the YU on his father, right? So this is that Rav's uncle. But the point is, Reb Chaim said to his son, Reb Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, Sheshama me'echad al zeh, Gimel Svarot. He has three explanations, okay? Aleph, didafka hatam nasid chalot k'tusha beima mikri ma'aseh, aval chalot psul eino ma'aseh. Possibility one is that the creation of holiness is recognized as an action, but the invalidation of holiness is not recognized as an action. Right? So that model, where is this? Where does he find pigul? Here. Right? That it's about the result, is that that result, it happens, it just isn't enough to count as an action. Right? That's what. Habet, Hasheni. Disham me velav al chaluta ektesh. Aval hacha alav wa machshava velo al pasuda karban. Possibility two is no. Timura is about the result, and therefore, the even though it happened through your thoughts and your words, Temura, the Isser, is fundamentally about the result. And therefore, your words created a reality, and there are words, therefore, that are close to an action. But by Pigul, the Isser isn't to create the reality. What is it? To have the thought that creates that reality. What? He's going to pigul first. Right? I mean, he's saying, first let's talk about pigul, and then let's come to lolishma. Right? So he says, possibility one is, pigul is located in the result. It's just that invalidation isn't recognized as a result. Possibility two is no. Timura, the iser is to create timura, is result-oriented. By pigul, the iser is to have the invalidating thoughts. It results in an invalidation of the carbon, but the isser is having the thought. That's why id is a lav she in bo ma'asa, whereas timura is a lav she yesh bo ma'asa, that bidibure avid ma'asa. That's possibility two. Hashlishi, dikan eina machsheva oset chalura psul, ela dim yesh machsheva psula atora pasla et akarban. Masha'engin bitmura dibiburo oset chalura kdosha. I said his third possibility, and this is quite, well, it's very nuanced, which is, the by tmura, the way we conceptualize it is that your thoughts actively affect the tmura, whereas by pigul it doesn't. Right? It's the Torah says, right? You aren't creating pigul; you are having a pigul thought, and then the Torah, right? The status that sort of comes implicitly from that, right? It's like it's as if you are not. Right? It's, you are not, this is a very strange formulation, right? I mean, there's a logic to it, but it's, I mean, sure, but the Torah says that if you have that machshava, it'll always do that. So, okay. but fine. Exactly. Correct. The tmura is that your thought is doing that. We're here, I'm planning to do X, right? And that grants it the status quo. I mean, I'm not trying to make it tmura. Right, exactly. I mean, by tmura, I'm trying to make it kadosh. Here, I'm not trying to make it pigul. I'm shechting the karban with condition to eat it outside of the time, and it happens to be that that's what makes it pigul. But I'm not intending to pigul. Right, that's his argument. Now that almost goes deeper, right? That the problem here is you're supposed to bring the karban in the right way. If you don't, there might be ramifications for it, right? Maybe. I'm not really sure. Something like in the essay world, right? That it's really about you're supposed to bring carbon in a certain way. If you do certain things, so then God says it doesn't work. It becomes a different type of carbon. Okay. But that's by pigul. So now we reflect back here and he says, okay. So, ubi gemara nidavim yisrael yishinui perish ra ubi rashi aktivim zevach shalvim karbano. Ubi shita mikubetzet katav dahachtiv be lo yechashev. V'chulei. Right, so Rashi in Menachot again focuses on the assay. Right, that you're supposed to bring the carbon in the proper way. The Shita Mikubetzet commenting on Rashi there says, no, it's from Lo Yechashev, the Isser by Pigol. V'nire ha-beyur. So how do I explain this sugya? Dimikra de zevach shlamim misham yadinan din lishma. So he says, the assay tells you, this is how he now works all the pieces together. The assay tells you that you are supposed to bring it lishma. Because you don't even know that. You could have just said you're supposed to bring a karban. If you don't bring it lishma, remember we talked about this yesterday. So you just have to bring another one. That doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It just means you haven't yet fulfilled your obligation. Kamashman, that's not true. Right? That was our mashal yesterday, right? Like the IRS doesn't care how many times you rip up the check. They just care that they get a check by the end. Whereas your parents might start getting frustrated if every time you're supposed to put the check, you know, file the taxes, you just don't. Right? Even though they haven't really lost money, they're still annoyed at you because you're supposed to do it the first time. Just the amount of the check. We talked about this. Right? Just because you write a check, money doesn't automatically come out of your account. It has to be cashed. So he says, the assay tells you that it's not just that you have to bring a karban and that karban happens to be lishma, but rather you are chayev to bring a karban lishma. Aval hacha, that's step one. Chidusha shorava diish isur b'machshava shelo lishma. V'zeh yadinan mikra de lo yichashev dafka. The lo yichashev says not only that, but it is usur to have the invalidating thought. And we saw that the Rambam in Perek Tevav, we saw this. You're not allowed to have improper thoughts, as we said. So Right? That if you have part of it lo lishma, you have to continue and bring the rest lishma. Vinei kadav Rambam lefichach. He said the Rambam had a magic word there, which was lefichach. What is the lefichach? Right? What does the lefichach add? He says, right? Meaning, right? Lefichach means what? Therefore, which means X follows, right? Y follows from X. So how does Y follow from X? He says, de'ilu midin de'boy lishma. If you only had the assay, hav amina de'dafka be'kasher de'olah lechova. If it was only the assay, you would have said that once you messed it up once and it's no longer going to be perfect, then there is no further isser to have improper thoughts, like the nitziv. Because it is already an invalid, it is already as invalid as it's going to get. Because it can the first time, but it's the second time that we're worried about. Again, I know Shlomo suggested, unless you think that each time you have a bad machshava, right, you're chayav to keep doing this as perfectly as possible, right? And even though it doesn't actually affect the karban, you're not doing what you're supposed to. It's possible. But he's... Yes, that seems to be Tosfot. The reason everyone pushes back on it, now again, that may be what Tosfot thinks, right? Tosfot thinks that all of this is asay, may say exactly what Shlomo was saying, is that the chiyuv isn't to bring a good karban. It's to be involved in the karban bringing process as much as possible in without doing anything that you shouldn't be doing, even if it doesn't actually mess it up any more than it's already messed up, right? Some sort of formulation like that, right? Or you're supposed to do the avodot properly or something like that. Yeah, that seems to be Tosfot. But the reason that everyone's trying to say, well, why does Rashi not buy that? Why does the Rambam not buy that? Why do they insist on invoking a lav? Because they said that is not so intuitive, right? It's not so intuitive. It's intuitive to say that when the karban has the potential to be perfect, you should bring it as perfect. It's not so intuitive to say that once it is already messed up and what you're doing isn't messing it up anymore, that having that thought while still going through the motions and continuing to bring the karban is considered not bringing the karban. That's not an obvious svara. Again, you're right. Tosfot does seem to hold it. But it's not obvious. And that's why he notes the Rambam doesn't say it. Rashi doesn't seem to say it. And that's why he's medayik from the lefichach. Because he says that this svara, even though Shlomo wants to defend Tosfot, and that's fine, he says the Rambam doesn't just seem to think that you happen to violate the lav. He thinks that because they're a lav, lefichach, that's why you have to bring it. Even after having already started lo lishma, you have to continue bringing it lishma, right, properly. Why does the Rambam seem to link it with that word lefichach? Because he doesn't buy this svara. He doesn't buy that notion. He says, no. You can't, right, the Rambam must not buy that. He says, listen, if I messed it up, I messed it up. So if it was just about the assay of bringing the karban in its maximally good form, but I can't do that anymore, so then I can't do that anymore. But if you say there's a lav to have the wrong machshava, well then, you can't, it's intrinsically problematic. So then, it is usher. Aval mitam de usher lachshav machshava im kein af de bengach u bengach lo ol l'shem chova. Even though it's true that one way or the other you're not going to be yotzei mikol makom etzem machshava v'yisur, the thought itself is usher. Now again, located very much in that middle category of a love to have the thought, not to change its status. V'asul l'shem nu yibo mashkod de ben bezadu me mishkod tzarach iun de mishkod god leil de la posel machshava shekir betorin. Akiri says, okay, shogeg is a problem because of Akira B'taut, but we'll leave that on the side for now. And then he comes back to Ramban we started with, HaRamban B'Sefer HaMitzvot Katav Lo Tizbach Kol Davar Ra Ratzalomner Shenimnu Mizeh Milishchot HaKotshem Onat Lachlan L'chut Plizman L'chotun Komam. Right? The Ramban had said there's an Isser to have Machshava of Pigol. V'achar Kach Hevi Machloket B'zeh V'ika Mandam Et Yolav Malikard Lo Yichashev. And he says, remember we noted this already in the Ramban, the Ramban seems to be saying two different things, right? One is that there's an isser to have the machshava that's going to mess it up, and the second is that there's an isser to bring about said result, right? Half of the Ramban focuses on the action, and half of it focuses on the result. He says, yeah, that's actually two different things. The lav lo tizba masa zvicha bekarban pasul. That the pasuk that says lo tizbach is telling you you can't shech the karban, that is invalid. The lav lo chashev zeu al lachsho machshav psula. And lo yechashev is telling you don't have the machshava itself. Umishum dezeh alav lo tizbach ikenami ashchita darom gam kein v'gam yamaktir. Kedin achrei machshav psula mzika ashchita. The mechevin shazevach pasul over ba'akravato. The lav lo chashev davka ba'voda shechish mechashivah. He said the further difference is that lo yechashev. And this comes back to sort of Shlomo's point, but not on the essay, on the love. That he thinks that lo yechashev is on the avodot, meaning each avoda that I have a bad machshava, I violate lo yechashev because it's don't have a bad machshava in each avoda. But the secondary part of it, namely lo tizbach, is about offering the karban, right? Where it's don't bring a pasul karban. Right, and that maybe is only once, right? And therefore, there are two different things going on. So that's what he says. Because he said, therefore, I would violate, once I already had the bad machshava, as long as I have the right machshava in each further avodah, I can't violate lo yechashev again because I'm having good machshava. But the problem of pigol that was inherent in the object now, obviously, I am violating because I have now, right, created this problematic carbon, and therefore both of them are true. But now he adds, and he says the following. Right, this is the last point. He assumes that according to the Ramban, lo lishma can't be asur because of the result. Because he assumes that for the Ramban, the issur to have improper thoughts can apply to lo lishma. But the issur of pigul mamash is only when I've invalidated the karban. He assumes that by lo lishma, because I don't invalidate the karban, it's not pigul minus. It's just something different. It's an issur machshava rather than an issur of creating a result. But the Griz says that's only 90% true. There should be cases in which everyone would agree that lo lishma is in this third most severe category, which is there's an issur to create a pasul result, and that is chatat or pesach sheshavtu shelo lishma. Right? Because if you think that the issur is not per se to have the thoughts that lead to pigul, namely michutz lazmano michutz mekomo, but it's an issur to create a full invalidation of the karban through thought, just like a mum. Well, there are two karbanot that we already said, or maybe three, that if you have even lo lishma, you've completely messed up the karban. And therefore, the Griz says, misvara, he thinks everybody should agree that the lo lishma of chatat and pesach are asur because of the result that you create. Right? That everything else is up here in the law of territory.
To clarify, this would mean that according to the opinion of Rabbi Yosei,
and Asham, according to that position of the Mishnah.
No, that's Rabbi Eliezer.
Yeah.
The issue would be having a, the issue is still having a pishim, chatas, or pishim.
Yeah. Okay, one more, and then we'll bring this to non-carbon territory. So the Kovach Yurim, Rav Chanan Wasserman also deals with this. He's Reis Vachim, and Dov Mishar L'Shanui, Ba Peirz Rashi, right, so again, same contradiction that in Menachot and Zvachem, right, in Zvachem he makes it sound like Lo Yichashev applies even on Lo Lishma. Avo Bereish Menachot, Lo Peirz Rashi, Mishum Krad Lo Yichashev, Ayin Shah. The nearly people who show up in Menachah, the Kral of Chashev, lo koi raka machshevet chot lezman of chot lemkomo, velo alo lishma, right? The simple pshat of Menachah is that lo yichashev is only by pigul of chot lezman of chot lemkomo, right? The intention to bring the carbon outside the right time or place, and not lo lishma, which is what the Ramban says. V'chein nirem idivrei Ramban, besof sefer ha-mitzvot, ayin sham. The efshar dizetali b'shnei perushim anal. He says, maybe it hangs on the following. Now we get the pigol minus. He says, if you think that what? that lo lishma, the reason it's kasher v'lo olah, is because you actually affected the karban, right? The fact that it's kasher v'lo olah proves that it is now a lesser karban, right? It's not a full karban that you happen not to be yotze. It's a lesser karban. So then you could say that lo lishma is essentially pigel minus. So this is his conceptual question, right? Meaning, I just gave you the end of it. But if you think that no, right, now this brings us back to last time. He says, what does that hang on? So we said, what is lolishma? So remember, we saw two possibilities. Is lolishma a active invalidation or the lack of lishma? Right? Remember how much time we spent on this? So Rav Chanan says, this question hangs on that question. Because if you think that lo lishma is an invalidation, then it sounds very much like pigel minus. But if you think that no, lo lishma is just the lack of lishma, this karban isn't invalidated, it's just not good enough. Right? Then when I had lo lishma, I didn't invalidate it, I just failed to validate it. Then it's not like pigel, because pigel is clearly an active invalidation. Therefore, he says, whether you think that lo lishma is a derivative of pigel depends on whether you conceptualize lo lishma as an active invalidation or a failure to validate. If it's a failure to validate, you have no choice but to go in the assay direction. Right? Maybe in the lav direction, maybe. But then it really sounds much more like on the assay. Enjoy. I really have to remember to bring my own markers. The assay. That wasn't even the one we got from upstairs, right? Like v'chal. Right. So the Rav Chanan says that the question of whether this is really pigel minus, or it's just an assay, is whether you think lo lishma is a failure to validate, and then, yeah, it's an assay, like Shlomo was saying before. I'm supposed to bring this properly, I didn't. Tosva. But if you say that no, lo lishma is introducing a negative quality, so then it's much more like pigel. Okay, fine. The last thing I want to do, and this was Robbie's question, is does this have any manifestations outside the world of karbanot, or is everything that we said here unique to the world of karbanot? And this is why I said it's important to, you know, have a basic what? Well, no, also just like here is a knowledge of the psukim that it's right to figure out whether this is a unique halacha, right, or not. So this comes up in this very interesting tshuva of the Torah Lishma. So just a moment on the Torah Lishma. Who wrote the Torah Lishma? We don't know 100%. Every tshuva in the Torah Lishma is signed off in the name of Arav Yecheskel Kachali, or Kochli. I'm not really sure how to pronounce it. Okay? So the leading posek of Baghdad in the 19th century was who? Ben Ishchai, also known as? That's another book he wrote, Ben Yehuda. What's his name? The Ben Ishchai is his book on halacha. He wrote a perush on Agadata as well, called the Ben Yehoyada. Very good. His name was? What? So the Chai stands for? So Yosef Chaim. He did it opposite because, you know, poetic. I don't know. And or is known as Rav Yosef Chaim in Baghdad, right? Because he's from Baghdad. I know that's shocking there. So he was the major posek, and Ad Hayom is one of the most important poskim in Eduta Mizrach, right? In many Eduta Mizrach communities, or what you might know as like broad Sephardi communities. What? Right? Eduta Mizrach, you know, obviously the Baghdadi community, Moroccan communities, right? The very important posek. Much of Rabbi Vadya's polemicizing against that psak was because of the influence of the Ben Ishchai. specifically the Ben Ish Chai's incorporation of Kabbalah and disagreeing with Rabbi Yosef Karo, especially in cases like that, which Rabbi Ovadia didn't like. That was why he was driven out. Rabbi Ovadia was driven out. Rabbi Ovadia was like basically driven out of his community as a teenager when he was 18 years old and he was giving shirim, saying this is why we shouldn't paskin like the tradition that we've been paskin like for 100 years.
I'm confused. So as far as I understand, the Ben Ish Chai basis of a lot of the stocking off of the Zohar.
Yes.
Right?
But correct.
Rav Karo doesn't run head against the Zohar.
Rav Yosef Karo will not allow the Zohar to, will invoke the Zohar sometimes, and usually when it doesn't go against halachic literature, my previous halachic literature. Ben Ish Chai does not have such compunctions, right? He incorporates a tremendous amount of Kabbalah into his psak, and Rav Ovadia feels that Sfardim, Rav Ovadia basically invented a category of pan-Sfardi culture, and insisted that all Sfardim paskin like Rav Yosef Karo, despite the traditions of the Moroccans and the Syrians and the people in Algiers and whatever, to paskin like Ben Ish Chai and Chida and whatever. So he waged war essentially on this tradition. What? They did not, and therefore the Moroccan postgame, Rav Shlomo Mesas, wrote a tshuva, a series of tshuvot in response, like a volume of volumes of tshuvot called the Shemesh Umagein, right, which are literally the sun and the shield, because he was literally just protecting his culture from Rav Ovadia. That is why it is written. That is what it is. No, Rav Ovadia was very explicit about this, what he was doing. Right, Dr. Benny Lau wrote his dissertation on Rav Ovadia's methodology of psak, and Rav Ovadia wrote a haskama on it, right? And like he worked with Rav Ovadia in his lifetime on it, and that is one of his things, is that he was trying to create a pan-Sfardi culture. Meaning, pretending that all these communities, the Syrians and the Moroccans and the Taimanim and whatever, they're all really Sfardim and therefore all follow Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Beit Yosef and Shulchan Aruch.
Well, the Taimanim definitely did not follow that.
Correct, but Rabbi Ovadia thought this was wrong, so he was trying to force them all Anyways, Ben Ish Chai is really important. So Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad writes in his youth a Sefer called Torah, publishes a Sefer in his youth called the Torah Lishma. Okay? And he claims that he wrote, that he copied this from a manuscript he found from Rav Yechezkel Kachali. Okay? So nobody knows whether, for sure, whether Rav Yechezkel Kachali ever existed, or whether this was a tshuva sefer written by the Ben Ish Chai under a pseudonym to hide the fact that these were tshuva that he wrote in his youth, when maybe he didn't have the same authority that he did older on. So that is the Torah Lishma. Good luck figuring it out. Right. If you look even on the Wikipedia page, that's just Hebrew Wikipedia. Yeah. They write that Rabbi Yosef Chaim wrote that he copied it for someone else, and the Yesh Pikpaku Bekach, right? The Ben Ish Chai's grandson claimed that the Ben Ish Chai himself wrote it. It has been pointed out that the gematria of Yechezkel Kachale is Yosef Chaim, which is also one of those, you know, veiled hints. So, in general, many think that he wrote it himself. Some people claim that he didn't. I do not have any more insider information on this. La Yitisham, I don't know. So, whoever it was, Paralishma, writes as follows. Okay? Bi'inyan mishalo chivin v'pasuk rishon shel shma. Okay? So, let's say you didn't have kavana in the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. So, what's the halacha?
Do it again.
You have to do it again. What's the problem? You're not allowed to say Shema Shema. Right? The Mishnah says, anyone who says Shema Shema, which is either the first pasuk twice or the word Shema Shema,
he's more of a
We shut him up. Why do we shut him up? Because it sounds like he has two gods. Shema, Shema, right? Bad, right? That's why Modim, Modim, we don't like you doing Shema, Shema. We don't let, remember this? It's a Mishnah and Brachot. We don't let someone say Shema, Shema, Modim, Modim, and Al Kamsipor Yagir Rachamecha. Right? That God should have mercy just on the mother bird. Right?
What? I know you're not supposed to say,
what's the last thing that God... Al-Kan
Sipur
Yagir Rachamecha. In the Gemara or in the Mishnah? This is a Mishnah, so I'm a little bit sad that you don't all know it called. Deep breath. What? So it's in the fifth paragraph. I mean, it's in the fifth paragraph, Mishnah and Gemara. But this is, right, the Mishnah says... Right, Ha'omer kan sipur yagir rechamecha, va'al tov yizacher shemecha. Right, if you say that your right, the, God's mercy should be on the mother bird, and the Gemara says, why is it that? Does that imply that your mercy is only on the mother bird, or maybe this isn't about mercy? It's a gzera in front of God, right? Modim, modim. He says, modim. Mishatkin, though you shut him up, right? So shema, shema is the same problem. So on the one hand, you're not yotzei because you didn't have. Kavana, on the other hand, you can't immediately say, can't do that, right? So the question is, what do you do? This is the question. Sheila, matzinu b'din pasuk rishon, the kriyat shema, shu pasuk shema Yisrael, dim lo chiven libo, lo yatzei dechovato. Right? On the one hand, we know the halacha is, if you don't have kavana for shema, you're not yotzei. Kaniskar b'sim and samach b'sim and gimel, v'kal dev shulchan aruch, there, if you have to read it again, umishum the asr lichbol shma shma katu apotskim b'shem sefer chasidim shikori belachash. Sefer chasidim says, well, on the one hand, you have to repeat shma because you weren't yotzei. On the other hand, you're not allowed to repeat it because it looks like you're turning to two gods. So sefer chasidim says, no. Since the second problem of not saying Shema Shema is an optics problem, that it looks like you're calling out to God and Ra, or whatever, what you should do is you should do it silently. Because Me'ikra, then you have to say it twice, but you're not supposed to make it look like you're turning to two gods. So what you do is, even if you're one of those people that at Shema says, Shema Yisrael, right, like that, right? Then the second one shouldn't be that like that, right? So even if you're... screaming, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And then you're like, no, don't do that. You just are not Yotze, because that's not the word, right? Obviously, don't do that. You can't do Echad. The Gemara says you have to be Marech in the Dalid, right? But that's because their Dalid was like a the. And you can say Echad, right? You can't say Echad. That doesn't work.
What? Dalid was a
the. It was a the. The.
Why?
Yeah, because a dalid without a dagesh is a the. So something of that.
Yes.
Who doesn't?
We.
Who's we?
What?
I know of at least two people who, for the dalid of Shema, do a the simply because the Gemara says you're supposed to be Marish.
I know there's three at this yeshiva.
Yes, I know of several at this yeshiva. Three, sure. I know of several at this yeshiva who do that, even if they don't do temani v'z elsewhere. Anyways, point is, if you just say echad, you're yotzei. If you want to be marach in the chet, I guess you can. It's not ideal either, echad. But you can't do echad duh, because then you've added a hey to the end of the word. Right? Echad duh. That's not the word. Anyways, point is, that person, so the Sefer Hasidim solution is just to say it, balachash. Say the second Shema quietly. So you would say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Adrachot. And then the second one, you'd be like, oh, I didn't have kavanah, I was too busy screaming. Try that again. Right? Good. So, now, the other possibility, that's possibility, well, solution one. Solution two is pause. Meaning, you said Shema Yisrael Shema Kenei Shema Chad. Oh yeah, I didn't have kavana. So then, in saying Shema Yisrael Shema Kenei Shema Chad, you say you just pause, because then, Right? Obviously, right? Like, I say Shema in the morning, I say Shema at night, right? Like, you can wait, so you wait 30 seconds, then you say Shema again, and it's clear that you're repeating it because of Kavana, not because you're turning to two different gods, right? Because we only stop him when he says Shema Shema. Right? Alternatively, third possibility is Od Katzba Poskim Tachanacheret Chiyigmora Parsha Rishona Kula. The third possibility, we don't. We say Shema once. Shema once, Baruch Shem three times, and Hashem Elohim seven times. So Od Kodva Boskim, solution three is to say Shema through the end of Ahavta, and then do it again. Right? Repeat the whole perek. V'choz v'korek chem de gomer ha-parsha lo mechzi kore Shema Shema. Right? Is to say all of the first perek. V'chein darkenu lasot kitakana zu. And he says his psak is to follow the third. Is to say Shema through the first paragraph. The adif line. V'nistapaknu, but I have the following suffix. Im acher shesiyem pasuk rishon hirgish shalochi vein libo. What if immediately after the first pasuk you realize you didn't have kavana? Varehu gomer parsha kedesh yachzor v'yikra shma pam shniya. When you realize after the first pasuk, if you are following solution three, and you are reading the whole parak through, do you have to be medayek with all the halachot of Shema in that first read through? Zarech lihizaher b'kriya zu arishana shel parasha b'chol ha'azarot amurin b'din kriya Shema. Da'ayin amashgad b'sholchan aruch samach gemal sifav lo yirmos be'enav lo yikrot b'sfatav lo yireh be'etzpotav. Meaning. So this is the scenario, right? I say, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eleinu, Adonai Echad, without Kavana. Right? I realize it, rebuke at that moment. And I, Koskin, like the Ben Ish Chai, that what I should do is say, and then do it again. Right? But why am I really finished reading through the whole Parsha? Why am I reading through the whole Parsha? Not because I want to be Yotze with the first time through, but because I don't want to have the problem of Shema Shema. Right? So normally, when I'm saying Shema, there's a lot of halachot, like, right? If I'm saying Shema and Rabbi comes in, I'm not allowed to greet him, I'm not allowed to gesticulate, right, and say, come here, right, to, you know, everything's okay, right, or, you know, the Israeli, this thing, right, new, right, you can't do that. So he says, okay. But when I'm reading that first time through Shema, which is not going to count, because I'm going to repeat it with Kavana, do I have to keep all the halachot of Kriyat Shema as if it was Shema? V'cheinim tzarech lechatchila gam gen lomar kol parasha hu b'chavana. And, okay, I didn't have Kavana in Shema. But the first pasuk, if I don't have Shema, Kavana, I'm not Yotze, but lechatchila, am I supposed to have kavana in all of Shema? Yeah. Yes, but what if I'm only saying the first paragraph so that I can go, so that it doesn't look like I'm saying Shema Shema, but the one that's going to count is the second one, right? Right, but I'm the first pasuk, because once I say the whole thing, it's clear that that's not when I'm going back. I'm reading the whole parsha. It doesn't look like that. It's the Shema, the call, right? Right? It's the Shema and the Echad. It's not the, you know, like if I'm doing Shtayim Mikra on the whole Parsha, when I'm learning the Aliyah, obviously I can do that. Right? It doesn't look like I'm, so he says, do I have to have Kavana and treat it like Shema for all purposes? Right? So tell me what the answer is. Tshuva. And now we get to our sugya. He says, Ita b'gemara zvachim daf bet. Zvachim daf bet. Or menachot daf bet. Kol ha zvachim shenizbechu shelo lishman. any carbon that I shecht, not lishma, ksherim, they're valid. Ela shlo alu lebailin b'shem chova. Shetzarach lavi karban acher lechovato, ole nidro v'ishchaten et lishman. Vika amar v'gemara, what does the Gemara say? Amar Rava. Ola sheshachta shelo lishma. If I shecht nola shelo lishma, asur lizrog dama shelo lishma. I'm not allowed to do the subsequent avodot. Lo lishma. Ibayreima svara, ibayreima kra. Either because of a pasuk or because of a logic. Ibayreima svara. What's the logic? Mishum dishani bakolani lishna babalezel. What? Just because I changed it a little bit, I should be allowed to mess up all of it? Ayin sham. Vizu alacha psuka aliba de kule alma. And everyone agrees to this. Hare lecha. Ava gavdul alu lebailim lechem shem chova. Vitzarach lavi karban acher. Even though I'm not yotze and I have to bring another karban. Im kol zeh. Nevertheless, sarach li zayir ba bechol hilchot avoda tzvichen la. Right? I need to be careful in all the aloch ravavoda. V'udin acham v'nidin ha-sheila. Here too. Aval pishalo alta kriyat shma azu l'shem chova. Even though the first shma doesn't count. Shetzarach likro kriyat shma pam shniya. Sheinik, because I'm going to have to read again. Im kol zeh. Tzarach lizar b'kriyata. Kichol mishpata. You have to keep all the aloch rav shma. V'chein le'chein osur likrot b'svata v'rmoz v'ina v'chayot bo v'yam yishwal omer b'chavana. So you can't start gesticulating. You can't have to say it with kavana. V'haya zeh shalom v'kel shaka Hashem tzvakot yazur li. Chein dad akata nichezkel kachali natre rachmano parke. So now let us pick apart his logic. Yes, Evan. Good. So now let us pick apart his argument. Okay? So he's very careful. First of all, he knows that the Gemara itself quotes two sources for the halacha, that once I've done something lo lishma, I have to continue doing it lishma, even though I have to bring another karban. One was a svara and one was a pasuk. He knows right off the bat that he has no hope. If it's a pasuk, then it's a localized halacha to karbanot. Right? So his only hope for expanding it outside the world of karbanot is that the Gemara also offered a svara, a logic. Now, is logic something that can flow from one area of halacha to the other? Yes, of course, right? If it makes sense, if the Gemara says the reason that I can't bring the karban, continue doing it lo lishma, is because why should you be allowed to? Just because you messed up once, you should mess up multiple times. So his svara is, well, if it's a svara, if it's logical, so it's logical inside the world of karbana and outside the world of karbana. Boom. That means that just because you messed up the first shema and you're going to have to do it again, that doesn't mean that this first shema, you got to run through it properly with kavana without messing it up. Da, da, da. So here, he's assuming here for the moment the unit is the first parak. Okay, fine. Great. Now, even if he's right, that even if we derive it from svara, though, is he right to obviously carry it over from karbanot to? Not necessarily. Good. Why not? So let's look at it. If lo lishma is usher because it's usher to have that machshava, right? Then, does the logic apply here? No, because you'd say, what's the Gemara svara? The Gemara is saying, yes, it's true that the karban is pasul, meaning I'm going to have to bring it again. But the reason that I'm not allowed to have a lo lishma machshava in the next avoda is because the thought itself is problematic. Is lack of kavana an active invalidation? No. Right? No. Right? If you think that the reason that it's usher to have these machshavas is like pigle, right? Is I'm creating a status in the object, and who gives me the right to keep adding to its negative status? Also, no. What about the assay? So now this gets a little bit more complicated. So, and this is what Evan pointed out, which is what Rav Elchanan argued. Rav Elchanan says, well, wait. What is lo lishma? If lo lishma is an invalidating thought, meaning it's not like kavana, it's an invalidating thought, right? It actively invalidates it. So then obviously, lo lishma is either asur because it's a lav to create such machshava, or because you're changing something in the object. And if that's the case, then kriyat shma ain't no dome. What is the only hope to compare the logic from kriyat shma, from karbana to kriyat shma, is if you think, as Evan noted, that we'll put it differently. If you think that the reason you have to keep bringing the karban is because of the asay, you're supposed to do this properly, right? So then, should that carry over to kriyat shma? Maybe. What maybe? So it depends. If you think it's gzeirat katuv by the karban, right? The way that it's a rule that the Torah gives, but it's not a logic, meaning it's like Shlomo said before, which is the Torah commands you to do each of the arba avodot with the proper lishma. So even though the karban is messed up, you are obligated to do each avodah in the proper way. That's the nature of the assay, right? That makes it clear that, as we've talked about in the past, lishma is not the same as kavana, right? Because kavana is, I need to have kavana when I'm doing the mitzvah. Here I'm like, this is unique to karbana. There's a pasuk that says that the lishma, which is different from kavana, I need to imbue each avodah, fine. Then it's nothing to do. But if you think that lo lishma isn't really a thing, is that you're chayav to do things, it's just a lack, right? You have to do things with kavana, or you have to do things with lishma. And you think that lishma is basically another way of saying kavana, right? That it's parallel to kavana b'mitzvot. That is the only way that his argument makes sense, which is to say, well, if lishma is basically a form of kavana, right, then, and the Gemara derives it not from a pasuk. The first possibility in the Gemara is it derives it not from a pasuk, but from a svara. Well, then the logic follows like this, that if the Gemara thinks it's obvious that just because I messed something up and I failed to have kavana, and I'm going to have to do it again, that doesn't mean that the first thing that I go through, I shouldn't make it resemble the actual mitzvah as close as possible, because who gives me the right to just mess around with it more than necessary? Because what I'm doing now is essentially, meaning, in other words, he's asking, when you come, what is our Gemara teaching us? If it's teaching a universal rule, then you come back to the Kriyat Shema example, you would say as follows. When I read through Shema that first time, what am I doing? One possibility is I'm just mumbling words, right? I'm mumbling words to make it clear that I'm not invoking two gods, right? I could theoretically just wait, right? Remember, he has three possibilities. I could theoretically just wait, but if I happen to read the words of Kriyat Shema, I'm not really reading Kriyat Shema. I'm saying the words that look like Kriyat Shema, so that when I then say the real Kriyat Shema, it doesn't look like I'm invoking two gods. Or are we saying that, no, you've started Shema, now you better finish it, but you're missing Kavana. So you're going to have to go back and do it again with Kavana. So again, if you think that Lishma is basically the same as Kavana, and you think that Lo Lishma isn't this magical, invalidating thing that generates Isurim, that creates metaphysical problems in the Karban, but Lo Lishma is just a way of saying you lack Lishma. And Lishma isn't something special. It's basically Kavana. Well, then you have the Gemara telling you that logically, even though you know you're going to have to repeat it, you should do everything in your power to make sure that the first one is as close to being valid as possible. If you buy all those assumptions, then yes, in fact, you should, right? The first Kriyat Shema should be done with Kavana without interruptions. But is what he's saying obvious?
No.
So no, again, according to Ibayit Ema Kra, if it's based on a Pasuk, all bets are off because it's special to Kavana. And even if it's from Svara, right, if you conceptualize Lo Lishma as an active invalidation, not lack of Kavana, but an active invalidation, or you think there's an Isser to have the improper thoughts, then the reason you're not supposed to, when you're bringing the carbon, to continue to have improper thoughts is because it's wrong to have improper thoughts. That's not true by Shema. By Shema, no one thinks that I'm spacing out by Shema. I actively invalidate it. It's just that you're supposed to have Kavana. Right? So by staking out this claim, he is, right? And this is the crazy thing. This is what, right? Again, this is where I... You know, when we asked at the beginning of the year, why is it important to learn Kachim? So I said, part of it is Talmud Torah Lishma, but then there's the Rav Shechter thing, which is, if you don't, all of Torah is intimately connected. Now here, if you didn't spend the 3 days we spent on this sugya, plus all the sugya that we did building up Lo Lishma, and Lishma, is it the same as Kavanah B'Mitzvah? Is it not the same as Kavanah B'Mitzvah? Is it about creating status? Is it that? What is it? Right? You wouldn't know how to come to the Torah Lishma's question and say, okay, is this a model that could possibly carry over? Right now, obviously, you could do the same thing by, you know, anytime you're supposed to have, you know, Kavana or whatever, right? But this is probably the easiest example. But in order to make his assumption, right, he, again, what becomes very clear is the second you actually go into the Sugya, he has to make so many assumptions that are far from obvious, right? When so much of the evidence points in the direction that no, karbanot are unique, lo lishma is unique, right? A karban which is kosher below Allah is a unique phenomenon, right? All those point to the fact that kriyat shema is not going to easily carry it over. In order to say this, he needs to stake out a very specific claim, which is that lo lishma is the same as kavana, right? Lishma is the same as Kavana, and Lo Lishma is merely the lack of said Kavana. And when you take those two assumptions, then you can come back to the Gemara and say, oh yeah, the Gemara said that Misvara, once you mess something up, it's just wrong to keep messing it up. The Gemara seems to assume that as a universal rule, boom, it's true by Shema also. But if you think that Lishma is different from Kavana, or you think that Lo Lishma is an active invalidation rather than the lack of Lishmanis, then obviously, this sugya has nothing to do with kavana b'mitzvot and kavana by kriyat shema, and this wouldn't be true, right? So I wanted to give you that just to show you that, wait, not just in the world of karbana, in order to understand whether the world of karbana can teach us something in the other areas of halacha, you need to be deeply aware, intimately aware of the source, the logic that drives the Gemara, because otherwise this question makes no sense, right? It sounds like a parallel, but right, you need to get into the weeds. Yeah, what do you say? Okay, so that ends this. Just to set you up for Sunday, we're going to come back to Evan's question, Uve Gadol, right? Sometimes I try to focus on a local sugya, and sometimes I go broad. So here, in order to understand the question of whether Lo Lishma, Lishma, Machshava is really Machshava or Divor, we are going to do a survey of whether the Torah ever talks about Machshava as Machshava or whether Machshava usually means Divor in about Sunday. Wow. Sunday. Friday. And tomorrow is Friday. I know. I don't know what today is. I several times this week I've asked what day of the week it is, but we're going to do that. We're going to see it in like 10 different areas of halacha. And just like we saw here that it's important to understand the local halacha, that's what we're going to see there, which is we're going to understand, we're going to have to do in each sugya two things. One is local, understand how do we view thought versus speech in general. And the second is how do we view each area of halacha such that it might or might not be unique for those purposes.